Hello, fellow Rebel Capitals. Hope you're well. Excuse me. Saw a video from Kevin O'Leary, CNBC. I guess he's one of these guys on Shark Tank. And for whatever reason, he is very influential, especially with young people, I believe. Kind of the guys like 20, 30-somethings, the millennials and Gen Z. This guy is a perfect example of what's wrong with CNBC and financial media. And I wanted to go ahead and respond or do like a reaction video to his interview, or just a couple minutes of his interview, where he said that none of us should be worried about inflation and none of us should be worried about a recession. That's all just crazy talk. And he's just as bullish as ever. And the economy is booming. And anyone that says differently is just completely crazy. So just buy the dip, buy the dip, buy the dip. Let's get over into it. And you know, one of the main reasons I want to bring this up is to illustrate the difference between the level of thinking between people in the mainstream media, these talking heads, and people who actually know what they're talking about. And you don't take my word on it. Just listen to these individuals. And it's the exact same thing with the Cerveza sickness. You know, you would listen to, what was the guy's name on CNN? I forgot the doctor's name, the Indian guy. And his arguments were always seemed very shallow. They didn't have a lot of facts, not much rationale. Didn't seem like there was much critical thinking there. It just seemed like he was just throwing out statements that we are just supposed to believe. But my point is, it didn't seem like there was a lot of deep analysis going on. Whereas if you listen to an interview with one of the other doctors, and you guys know who I'm talking about, Joe Rogan, and one of the doctors I was honored to have on my show the other day. When you listen to them, I wish they could debate, but unfortunately the mainstream media won't allow that. But the level of argument, the level of analysis is night and day difference. And I mean, these people come at you with studies, with charts, with facts, with data. And the other group just comes at you with platitudes and just overgeneralizations, and there's no meat on the bone. They can't substantiate anything that they say. It's just, oh, believe me because I'm on TV. And so I'm not going to tell you who to believe and who not to believe. But for me personally, that's kind of how I judge. I listen to that individual, and I can, you know, within 2 or 3 minutes, you can tell the extent or the depth of their analysis. And I much prefer to believe and trust people who obviously have done a lot more research. So let's get into this. And I'm not going to play this whole thing here, but just maybe a couple minutes and you'll get the gist of what I'm referring to here. And then what we're going to do is I'll comment on it throughout the 2 minutes or so. And then I want to contrast this to a similar type of interview or a similar type of question from a recent interview with my good friend Lynn Alden. And I want you to really compare the answers that you get from Kevin O'Leary and the answers you get from Lynn Alden.
I like to look for businesses that are growing their cash flows, have strong balance sheets, and are servicing the demand at the time. And, you know, it's true that we have inflation and there's a lot of concern about a recession. I don't see any of that in the short.
So he says it's true we have inflation, but I don't see any of that. I'm oblivious to it. I don't see any inflation in my businesses whatsoever. I would ask Mr. O'Leary, when's the last time he paid rent? When the last time he put groceries, or he bought groceries, or he put gas in his car? My guess is a long, 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 long time ago. So, of course, he's not seeing inflation. Because he doesn't go to the grocery store. But he can assure you that, yeah, it's there, but it's not a big deal.
Term. I mean, I'm living in the real world here with over 30 private companies in our portfolio in almost every geography in the U.S. Right now, things are booming. Sales are on fire. Cash flows are better than they've ever been.
So let's think about that for a moment. Sales are better than they've ever been. How are you measuring that, Kevin? By unit? Or by gross revenue? My guess is if you have 30 companies, you're probably watching them from a distance and you're just seeing the P&L and you're saying, oh my gosh, our bottom line, we've increased profits. Let's just assume that profits have gone from 100,000 to 110,000. But is he adjusting for inflation? My guess is no. So does that matter? Yes. Because that same business that made 100,000 in 2019, now let's say it makes 105,000 or 110,000. Yes, profits are at all-time highs. But you can buy a lot less stuff with the 110,000 today than you could the 100,000 back in 2019. And honestly, I don't know if he's smart enough to connect those dots. I don't even know if he's cognizant. He's probably smart enough, but I don't know if he's cognizant enough to actually think that through.
No, we should be pessimistic, but I can't get there right now because I'm trying to hire people and I can't find them. Try and find a server in Los Angeles for an operation for minimum wage $15. I have to pay $25 in some cases just to get them to come to work.
So somehow that means the economy is booming. So people aren't willing to go to work. Why do you think that is, Kevin? Is that that's just because job growth is at record highs? When you look at aggregate total, now job growth in and of itself might be high, but when you compare the total jobs, I guess that's a better way of saying it. Going back to 2019, it's not like we've had this booming job market. No, we're just pretty much getting back to the same levels where we were in 2019. So it's not like we have a lot more jobs. We just have a lot less workers. Why do you think that is, Kevin? It's not because of a booming economy. It's because of stimmies. It's because of government deficit spending, which is temporary. So when the savings goes down, when the PPP goes away, when the stimmies are no longer there, what do you think happens, Kevin? We go from a labor shortage to a labor surplus very, very quickly. What you're seeing is not an indication of a booming economy. What you're seeing is an indication of a very, very sick economy. And I don't see how someone on CNBC can't figure that out.
So there's a lot of demand at all levels for employment. So I'm not that worried about the classic recession. Energy prices, well, that was self-inflicted. We shouldn't have canceled pipelines. That was bad policy. It can be fixed. Supply chains will be fixed as well.
How, don't you love that? Well, guys, all you rebel capitalists watching this video right now, what are you worried about? Supply chains? They'll be fixed. Everyone knows that. Just move along. Nothing to see here. Supply chains, they'll be fixed. How, Kevin? That's the level of your analysis? They'll be fixed? That's what I'm talking about. Like, there's no meat on the bone. There's no evidence. There's no rationale. There's no critical thinking. There's no facts. There's no data. It's just, don't worry about it. It'll be fixed.
So right now, if I were to buy stocks, which I am doing, because, I mean, you know, you can't time the market, Becky. Today's a good example. If you were not in the market today, you don't know which of the 20 or 30 days in the next 12 months give you all the returns. Today was one of them. So trying to time the market in volatility is next to impossible. But let's take something like Service Corp. Now, maybe people don't know it, but it's probably the biggest funeral operator in America. Guess what? In recessions, people keep dying. Who knew?
So there you go, guys. We're not in a recession, so don't even worry about it. You shouldn't allow that into your conscious thought. And by no means are we going into an economic depression, but I would suggest you buy funeral homes. How do you connect those dots? Doesn't that seem like you're slightly contradicting yourself? And this is what is acceptable. This is not only acceptable on CNBC, but this guy passes for an expert. This is staggering to me. And I'm shocked that the average retail investor tunes in to listen to this type of drivel. Hey guys, I want to remind you to get your tickets to Rebel Capitalist Live. This is the live conference I do twice per year with all of your favorite speakers from the Rebel Capitalist Show and experts in investing, commodities, real estate, freedom, and liberty. All of your favorite topics, all of your favorite speakers. The next Rebel Capitalist Live is going to be in Miami, and tickets increase in price as we get closer to the event. So go to rebelcapitalistlive.com right now to get your tickets to the next Rebel Capitalist Live. It's the conference you cannot afford to miss. It'll help you increase your financial freedom and, more importantly, your personal freedom. You'll get intel that you won't hear anywhere else. Past speakers have included icons in macroeconomics, investing, and personal freedom and liberty. People like Dr. Ron Paul, Robert Kiyosaki, Brent Johnson, Lynn Alden, Jeff Snyder, Richard Werner, Mark Moss, Lynette Zhang, and Robert Breedlove, just to name a few. So once again, go to Rebel Capitalist Live right now and get your tickets today. Now, let's compare this to my good friend, Lynn Alden. And not just that she may have a different view, but just by hearing how she speaks, in my opinion, you can tell the difference in analysis and the extent to which Lynn has done the research and the homework, and the extent to which Kevin O'Leary just reads, you know, the headlines or whatever, and just asks CNBC what they want him to say, and then he just delivers the sales pitch.
So let's get to it, Lynn. If we look at your current macro thesis, then I guess it is impossible not to look at supply chains globally at the moment. Alfonso and I had a quick chat about it in the intro of the podcast. We see a worsening of the situation in the port of Shanghai. So the supply chain basically keeps being distressed by various developments across the globe. How does that link to your current macro thesis?
Yes, I definitely want to avoid things that are vulnerable to the supply chain. And of course, that's somewhat impossible. I mean, it kind of spreads out to everything, but you want to avoid things that are kind of directly hurt by it. And so, you know, prior to a couple months ago, you know, supply chains are already disrupted. Then we throw in war into the mix, and then we also throw in, you know, extreme lockdowns in China. And so that was kind of a one-two punch to an already stressed system. And so we have all these supply side problems in energy markets, commodity markets, and then supply, you know, infrastructure logistics. And so that's the supply side. Then the demand side of the macro situation is that we have, you know, stimulus being withdrawn, you know, so there's few countries doing fiscal anymore, and a tightening monetary policy. And so you have kind of a softening demand, but you still have very tight supply side. And so that the whole kind of inflation, disinflation structure is kind of messy at the moment. And so my general position macro view is overall defensive without being necessarily disinflationary.
All right. There you go. And I'd like to point out that the other two gentlemen, Alf, Macro Alf, and then and Andreas. That's right, Andreas. So you guys definitely have to check them out on Twitter. But you can just immediately... You've got the one guy saying, oh, don't worry about it. Well, why should I not worry about it? And then you've got the other people who say, well, maybe you should worry about it. And here is why. Port of Shanghai, China lockdowns. You've got a war going on that's crushing the supply side. It's going to make it almost impossible for these global supply chains to be fixed in the near term and the midterm. And then you've got the demand side of the equation. That's being crushed by asset prices coming down. No more stimulus checks. No more PPP. They're burning through their savings, like we were saying earlier. So look at the type of answers that are being given. And just ask yourself, you know, Who would you trust with your money? Kevin O'Leary or Lynn Alden? For me personally, that would be Lynn Alden. And that's one of the reasons, one of the main reasons why that I was fortunate enough to partner with Lynn in Rebel Capitalist Pro. And she was the first person that I reached out to when I wanted to set up Rebel Capitalist Pro. And I said, okay, what would I want if I was an investor in like an online forum? Well, I would want to be able to ask people like Lynn Alden questions. I'd want to listen to them on live streams. I'd want to get her research. And that's exactly what we built. And it's not just Lynn, but it's people like Chris McIntosh and Brent Johnson and Patrick Srezna, Jason Hartman, Tony Greer, et cetera. But my point there is you've got to look at the people that are influencing society. And I'm sure most of you have kids. You've got a job. You can't allocate 100% of your thinking to trying to figure out macro every single day of the week. So I get it. Now, I strongly suggest using critical thinking, researching this on your own, and doing your own homework. But at the end of the day, you've got to delegate some of your thinking to other individuals. And when you're doing that, be very, very careful about who you're listening to and who you're trusting with your valued time and mental bandwidth. And make sure that you are trusting people who obviously have an in-depth knowledge of the topic that they're discussing. And that would be people like Lynn Alden, and people that are pretty much people like Lynn Alden and people that are completely vacant from people that are very much unlike the talking heads on CNBC. I guess that's the best way to say it. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. We'll see you in the next video.